With that, it is our honor to invite Sheikh Mustafa Araki as we commemorate the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Jawad alayhi salam. He is going to be speaking about Imam Jawad alayhi salam's approach in protecting the sanctity of Shiaism. We invite him with a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum jami'an wa rahmatullah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نحمده ونستعينه ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونستنصره ثم نصلي ونسلم على خاتم أنبيائه وأفضل سفرائه حبيبنا وحبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين الهداة المهديين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء. السلام عليك يا مولاي يا أبا جعفر يا محمد ابن علي أيها التقي الجواد يا ابن رسول الله يا حجة الله على خلقه يا سيدنا ومولانا إنا توجهنا وتوسلنا واستشفعنا بك إلى الله وقدمناك بين يدي حاجاتنا يا وجيها عند الله اشفع لنا عند الله. On this holy night, which marks the martyrdom anniversary of our holy ninth Imam, Imam Muhammad Jawad al-Taqi alayhi salam, I extend my sincerest condolences on this sad occasion, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the ma'rifah and the understanding of the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, especially of this holy Imam alayhi salam. As the brother mentioned, the topic of discussion that I have chosen to discuss with you, my dear brothers and sisters, is Imam Jawad's approach in protecting the sanctity of Shiaism. To explain this title very, very briefly, what I mean is this, that how this holy Imam played his role as an Imam, as a divine leader in the society, in safeguarding the essence of Islam, the essence of this peril of Islam, and this holy heritage that the holy Imam inherited from his forefathers. What was his role, how he played his role as an Imam in order to protect this trust, and in order to guide the Muslim community, the Muslim society, on the path in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had assigned for the community and for the society. So Imam Jawad alayhi salam was born on the 10th of Rajab of year 195 after Hijrah. In year 203 after Hijrah, Imam Ridha alayhi salam was martyred and he was passed away. So Imam Jawad alayhi salam was only how many years did he had when he took this position of imamah? He was born in 195. Imam Ridha alayhi salam was martyred 203. So the holy Imam was only 8 years old, only a child, when he took charge of this very, very important role and position. He became Imam. He took charge of the Muslim community as a whole when he was only 8 years old. And this is very, very remarkable. very, very important and outstanding with regards to the life of Imam Jawad alayhi salam. This youngness and this Imam who became in charge of this very divine position in this young age means something. It's a very, very important issue here, which I will explain inshallah. So, another very important notion that we must have in our mind when we want to analyze and we want to study the life of Imam Jawad alayhi salam and how the Imam played his role as an Imam in protecting the sanctity of Shi'ism is the atmosphere and the environment that the Holy Imam lived in. The Holy Imam, Imam Jawad alayhi salam, he became an Imam at a very, very young age when different groups and different diversions were implemented in the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were distortion from different roots, different aspects that were implemented in religion. Different groups, different deviations of the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were happening in Islam at the time of Imam Jawad alayhi salam, which made the role of the Imam and the responsibility and the duty of the Imam very, very difficult and very sensitive and very significant. Because the role of the Imam is to protect and safeguard this trust, this religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in his young age, when he was only 8 years old, he was meant to protect and to safeguard it and to fight against these deviations that were being exerted into the religion of Islam. We must know how the Imam alayhi salam managed to tackle this threat and which tactics, which methods the Holy Imam exercised in order to deal with this trouble and this threat that the Islamic society was facing at that time. So, one of the prominent distortions and the groups that were deviating the religion of Islam were called the Ahlul Hadith, the people of Hadith. This group, they believed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, had a physical body. They had trouble in their understanding and perceiving Allah's entity. They assumed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could be manifested, could be appeared in physical beings, in physical body. And this was a very, very severe distortion in the understanding of Tawheed, in the concept of Tawheed. They had a very big, big trouble with their concept of Tawheed. And Imam Jawad alayhi salam, he was trying to protect them, to guide them through the problems that they were facing with Tawheed and to explain to them and to elaborate the concept of Tawheed clearly to them so that they could understand where they were going wrong. This was the group that were called Ahlul Hadith. It is mentioned that Imam Jawad alayhi salam prevented the Shias to pray behind them and to pay zakat to them. So, in this way, the Holy Imam was basically expressing his dislike and his trouble with this group, which were facing a big, big problem with their understanding and their conception of Tawheed. Another group which were facing big troubles in their belief, and the Imam had responsibility to fight against them, to guide them, to clarify their troubles in their belief, with the Waqifiyya. And they were a minority of Shias, which at the time of Imam, our holy seventh Imam, Imam Musa Kadhim alayhi salam, they believed that Imam Musa Kadhim was the promised Mahdi. And when Imam Kadhim alayhi salam was martyred, they tended to believe that Imam Kadhim alayhi salam had gone on ghibah, on occultation. And they stopped their belief in Imama until Imam Kadhim alayhi salam. And they did not continue this chain of Imama to Imam Ridha alayhi salam. And they didn't consider Imam Ridha alayhi salam as the eighth Imam. They were called Waqifiyya. And they had certain incentives for believing in this. And mainly these incentives went back to their greed in worldly desires and wealth and worldly benefits. This was the main reason which tended these people, which deviated these people from the right path. They were the Waqifiyya. So the holy Imam, Imam Jawad alayhi salam, had also a trouble with the Shias within his own community. So in a general sense, there were some problems that the Muslims were facing in their belief with Tawheed and monotheism. And also within the Shias, there were other troubles, other problems, other deviations, diversions happening in the beliefs of Shia, which amongst one of them and the most prominent one was the group called Waqifiyya. The third group that the Holy Imam had to deal with in order to clarify and to bring them back to the right path were the group called Ghulat. And they were very dangerous. They were very dangerous for the Shias, and they were a corrupt and perverted group of Shias who were very effective. Their role was very effective in spoiling the reputation of Shia at that time. And they were very much despised by the Imams alayhi salam. Imam Jawad's reproaching statement about one of the chiefs of the Ghulat is this, and it's very amazing how the Imam, the vocabulary that the Holy Imam is using, the literature that the Holy Imam is using in denouncing and reproaching these people is very important for us. Because sometimes, listen, when we talk about deviations and diversions in Shia creed, in Islam, it doesn't mean it is limited to the time of Imam Jawad alayhi salam. It's something that we have to anticipate and look for in our own time as well. It might be happening. We must be very careful about these issues. So what I want to basically shed light on is this statement by Imam Jawad alayhi salam, when he wants to reproach and when he wants to talk about these people, when he wants to renounce, denounce these people. Look what literature the Holy Imam alayhi salam uses, how harsh he is, how fierce the Holy Imam is, and how the Holy Imam uses these very fierce and very harsh words against these group of people. This is what the Holy Imam says, and this is what Ali ibn Mahziyar narrates from the Holy Imam. He says, سمعت أبا جعفر إمام جواد عليه السلام قد ذكر عنده أبو الخطاب لعنه الله قد ذكر عنده أبو الخطاب لعن الله أبو الخطاب ولعن أصحابه. The Holy Imam cursed when he was mentioned the name of this person. He was one of the chiefs of this group, the Ghulat. When he was mentioned, the Holy Imam cursed him. وَلَعَنَ أَصْحَابَهُ. Not only the Holy Imam cursed this person, the Holy Imam cursed the followers and the companions of this person. وَلَعَنَ الشَّاكِينَ فِي لَعْنِهِ. Those who were in doubt about the misguidance of these people, the Holy Imam cursed. Those who saw the misguidance of these people, the deviation, the diversion of these people from the right path, and they didn't say anything, and they were silent about it, the Holy Imam cursed them as well. لعن الله الشاكين في لعنه ولعن من وقف في ذلك وشك فيه. The holy Imam even cursed those who stopped cursing them. Look how the holy Imam is harsh about these issues. When we talk about the Shia belief, when we talk about Islam, we cannot compromise. It is very, very important. ثم قال هذا أبو العمر وجعفر بن واقد وهاشم بن أبي هاشم. The Holy Imam names three of the people who were the followers of this person, this chief of the Ghulat. And he says, these people استأكلوا بنا الناس فصاروا دعاة يدعون الناس إلى ما دعا إليه أبو الخطاب. This man, Abu al-Amr, along with Ja'far and Hashim, have blackmailed and extorted people using our name. They use our name, they use our title, they use the name of the Imam, they use Imam Hussein alayhi salam, they use the mourning for Imam Hussein alayhi salam in order to what? In order to blackmail people, in order to deceive people. Yes. This might remind us of some groups that we are facing today in the Shia community. This is important for us. This is a lesson Imam Jawad alayhi salam is teaching us. If you see smallest of diversions, deviations in religion, you should be very cautious. The Holy Imam is saying, وَلَعَنَهُمْ مَعَهُ وَلَعَنَ مَنْ قَبِلَ ذَلِكَ مِنْهُمْ. And then he says, Ya Ali. He addresses Ali ibn Mahziyar. Ya Ali ibn Mahziyar, listen. لا تتحرجن من لعنهم لعنهم الله. Don't be lenient in cursing them. Don't be soft in reproaching them. فإن الله قد لعنهم. Allah سبحانه وتعالى has cursed them. ثم قال قال رسول الله من يعجم أن يلعن من لعنه الله فعليه لعنة الله. Whoever is soft and lenient and reluctant in cursing those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has cursed, Allah's curse will be on him. So Imam alayhi salam, in his young age, he's using three tactics in tackling these threats that the Shia community and the Muslim community as general was facing with these divergent and deviations in the religion of Islam. The first tactic the Holy Imam used was this, enlightening the people about their belief system and about the rulings of their religion. Look in the ahadith of Imam Jawad alayhi salam. Most of them are on the topics of aqa'id, of kalam, and the concept of imama. So the Holy Imam is trying to elaborate, explain for the people, clarify the concepts of Islam, clarify the concepts of religion, explain to them where the people are going wrong. This is the duty that we also have at our time. These campaigns that we witness in Iran, the center of Shia in the world, against the fundamentals of our religion, about the most crucial and significant rulings of religion, we have a duty here to play. We have a duty. The first and the foremost duty is elaboration, explanation. Why don't we explain to the people the rulings, the philosophy of these rulings? Of course, we might not be able to know all the philosophies behind them, but explain to the people the rulings of Islam as taught to us by the A'imma salawatullahi ta'ala alayhim. This is a very important duty that we have. The tulab, those who study in Hawza, this is the foremost duty. And the holy reader, حفظه الله آية الله علي سيد علي خامنئي حفظه الله, he is insisting always on this concept of jihad of tabiyin. This is our duty. This is what the Holy Imam عليه السلام Imam Jawad at the time was doing. The tactic that the Holy Imam was exercising in order to tackle these threats against Shias. This was the first tactic. The second was disapproving, denouncing those who were misguiding the Shias and the Muslim community. to be vocal, to speak up for your religion at the times that the religion needs you. This is the second tactic the Holy Imam was using. And the third, that the Imam was introducing Imama as a divine role. She's anticipated and appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before the time of Imam Jawad alayhi salam, we didn't have this concept that the Imam, a person who is in charge of leading the community, to be a child like this age. We didn't have this. This, when the Holy Imam took charge, one of the first, the foremost thing that the Holy Imam started to do was to explain the rulings of Islam. Different people, including the uncle of Imam Jawad alayhi salam, approached the Holy Imam on different grounds, on fiqh issues, on kalami issues, on tafsir. They asked Imam Jawad alayhi salam on different concepts, and the Holy Imam explained to them very clearly, very exact, accurate, in order for the people to understand and people to be able to apply those rulings in their actions. The Holy Imam, in different occasions, when you look in that hadith, you see that the Holy Imam in his young age, he is placed in the majlis, the ulama, the people, the seniors, senior people of the community come and they address the Holy Imam, and the Imam explains to them. And if you looked into the literature of the Imam alayhi salam, you see as if a very old man, mature person is talking. The Imam was explaining the rulings of Islam at that young age in a very, very acute manner. Yes, one of the ahadith of Imam Jawad alayhi salam, in which the Holy Imam explains the roots of this deviation that happened at the time of the Holy Imam, is this that I'm going to read to you. The Holy Imam mentions, كل أمة قد رفع الله عنهم علم الكتاب حين نبذوه. Any nation who Allah has lifted the knowledge of the book from them, those people who are misguided and have refused to implement Quran in their actions, this has happened to them only when they have abandoned the Quran in their actions and in their lives. Hina nabadhu. When you distance yourself from the Holy Quran, eventually Allah's guidance will be shifted, will be lifted from you. Nitarikum fikum al-thaqlain kitab Allah wa itrati. We have to resort, we have to hold on to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the book of guidance. You saw in the message that the Supreme Leader delivered to the students of Europe, he said, I advise you to read the Quran carefully. كل أمة قد رفع الله عنهم علم الكتاب حين نبذوه. When you distance yourself, when you forget about the Quran, when you don't refer to the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will lift His guidance from you. ولا ولاهم عدوهم حين تولوا. The nations have been ruled over by their enemies only when they have accepted their authority. When they have accepted their authority. وكان من نبذهم الكتاب. Then the Holy Imam explains, what do I mean when I say the people abandoned the book, abandoned the Holy Quran? وكان من نبذهم الكتاب أن أقاموا حروفه وحرفوا حدوده. It's very beautiful. He says, their abandonment and their neglect of the book was through establishing its words. They read the Quran, they recite the Quran so beautifully, but they neglect its rulings. They forget about its ruling. They know that the Holy Quran says, وَلَا تَظْلَمُونَ وَلَا تُظْلَمُونَ. You have to stand against the oppressors. But what do? They know how to read the Quran beautifully. Yes, you listen to their mosques reciting the Quran so beautifully, but when it comes to applying the Quran in action, Where are the Arab leaders today? Looking what is happening today. What genocide is going on in Palestine? Don't they read the Quran? Yes, they do. The Imam alayhi salam, Imam Jawad alayhi salam, is exactly describing these Arab leaders. He says, وَكَانَ مِن نَبْذِهِمُ الْكِتَابَ أَقَامُوا حُرُوفَهِ. Yes, they established the words of the Quran. They recite it with very nice voice in their mosques. وَحَرَّفُوا حُدُودَ. But they distort, they deviate from its rulings. فَهُمْ يَرْوَوْنَهُ وَلَا يَرْعَوْنَهُ. They will narrate the Quran, they will recite the Quran, but they don't mind it, they don't implement it. وَالْجُهَالُ يُعْجِبُهُمْ حِفْظُهُمْ لِلْرِوَايَةِ. And the ignorant people, unfortunately we have so many of these ignorance in the Muslim society, the ignorance are delighted and pleased by their narration, and the scholars are dissatisfied by their zeal to apply it. This is what the Holy Imam alayhi salam is telling us. Abide by the Quran, read it and apply it. And one of the Imam's most difficult tasks at his time was to remove the mask of Iman and faith and belief from the face of those who were in charge of Khilafah at his time. Ma'mun. When he appeared in front of the people, he acted as a person who was very, very humble, very faithful, very committed to Islam. Even when he approached Imam Rida alayhi salam, Imam Jawad alayhi salam, he was so kind and generous towards these holy beings. Now I will see if I have time to mention one of the riwayat, one of the examples of what happened at the time of Imam Jawad alayhi salam, and when Ma'mun alayhi salam approached the Imam, how he acted and how he treated the Holy Imam alayhi salam. I'll mention that later on. But now, Imam alayhi salam, as an Imam, he became in charge of the Muslim Ummah at a very young age. This meant that the position of Imamah and the guidance that the Holy Imam, the Imam of the time, needs to deliver to the community is not the matter of a person, of an individual coming and taking over. It is something appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only the position and the person, the knowledge also should be given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Imam explains it. He says, this is a riwayah, a beautiful narration. He says, Ali ibn Asbat qala ra'aytu Aba Ja'far. When the Holy Imam, everybody, all the Shias were informed that after Imam Rida alayhi salam, his son Imam Jawad, which was only 8 years old, he is the Imam. So people approached the Imam to know him, to ask him about their issues, and to explain to the others that this is the Imam and he's now taking over and he is in charge of the position of Imamah. One of these people who approached the Imam in order to understand, to monitor the Holy Imam, was this person, Ali ibn Aswad. He says, I went to visit Imam Jawad alayhi salam. He was only a young kid. I saw him doing different actions and I monitored him. وَجَعَلْتُ أَنظُرُ إِلَىٰ رَأْسِهِ وَرِجْلَيْهِ. I monitored them very carefully. I looked how he was reacting, how he's moving his head, where he's walking, looking, watching his foot, watching his head very carefully. لِأَصِفَ قَامَتَهُ لِأَصْحَابِنَا. So that I can go on and explain to my followers, my companions, about Imam, how he acted. فَبَيْنَا أَنَا كَذَلَكَ. I was monitoring, watching the Imam carefully. I suddenly saw him and came, approached me, and he sat right in front of me. حَتَّى قَعَدَ فَقَالْ يَا عَلِي. Then he told me, "Oh Ali, Allah has argued for Imamah as he has argued for prophethood." This is what Imam Jawad alayhi salam is saying. Because he knew that this person was in doubt that whether I am Imam or not. So I explained to him from the Holy Quran. He says, إن الله احتج في الإمامة بمثل ما احتج به في النبوة. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his holy book has argued for imama just as he has argued for the prophethood. And then the holy imam recites this verse, وَآتَيْنَاهُ الْحُكْمَ صَبِيًّا. He says, we gave him the wisdom while he was a kid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Nabi Isa alayhi salam. When he was on the cradle, but he became a prophet and he started to guide the people. وَآتَيْنَاهُ الْحُكْمَ صَبِيًّا. And then Imam moves on and says another verse. وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ وَبَلَغَ أَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in another verse, he talks about Prophet Musa alayhi salam when he became prophet at the age of 40. He attained strength and maturity and he was 40 years old. And then the holy imam says, فَقَدْ يَجُوزُ أَن يُؤْتَ الْحِكْمَةِ. So it is possible for a person to be given the wisdom while this person is only a kid. وَآتَيْنَاهُ الْحُكْمَ صَبِيًّا. When he is a child, just as it is possible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant this trust of imama, this knowledge and this position of imama as to a person or prophethood, to a person who is at the age of maturity at 40 years old. So in this manner, the holy imam basically explained and proved to this person that the position of imama according to the Quran can be given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to whoever he wishes, since it is a divine essence. It is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to decide to whoever he wishes to give it to. And in another narration, قال علي بن الحسن لأبي جعفر يا سيدي. Imam alayhi salam, Imam Jawad alayhi salam, was asked by one of his companions, was one of the followers of Imam Jawad alayhi salam, the holy imam was asked, إن الناس ينكرون عليك حداثة سنك. People reject you due to your young age. فقال وما ينكرون من ذلك قول الله. The imam said, what can they reject from the holy verse of the Quran where Allah says, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْوُ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْوُ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي. The imam said, how can these people reject this holy verse where Allah says, this is my way? Allah says, the holy prophet had said, this is my way, I summon to Allah with insight, I and he whoever follows me. Imam Jawad alayhi salam continues, and by Allah, nobody followed the holy prophet except Imam Ali alayhi salam. Ala basiratin ana wa man ittaba'ani. Qul hadhi sabili adu ila Allah. This is what the holy prophet said, this is my way, which I follow with insight, ala basiratin. Follow with insight, I and whoever follows me. And the Imam alayhi salam, Imam Jawad alayhi salam says, the only person who followed the footsteps of the Holy Prophet of Islam exactly foot on foot was Imam Ali alayhi salam. And at the time when the Holy Prophet recited this verse and this verse was revealed, Imam Ali alayhi salam was only 9 years old. And here I am also 9 years old, so I can also follow the footsteps of the Holy Prophet as an imam, a child being of 9 years of age. Another significant chapter of Imam Jawad alayhi salam's life was his marriage with Umm al-Fadl, the daughter of Ma'mun, la'natullahi alayhi. It is mentioned that Imam alayhi salam was 16 years of age when Ma'mun instructed Imam Jawad alayhi salam to come to Baghdad, and he was planning to make Imam alayhi salam marry his daughter Umm al-Fadl. The story is a long story. It is mentioned that when the Abbasids, the people who were amongst the family of Ma'mun, from the same tribe, they came to Ma'mun and they complained. They complained to Ma'mun, why are you taking Imam Jawad alayhi salam as your son-in-law? While this person later on, he might take charge of Khilafah. This is something dangerous for us. The Khilafah will be moved on from the Abbasis to Bani Hashim. This is not what we want. This is what they were saying to Ma'mun. They were complaining to Ma'mun for what he was decided. He was deciding to marry Imam Jawad alayhi salam, his daughter Ummul Fadl. This is what Ma'mun says to these people, to the people of his own tribe, from the Abbasids. Look how the Ma'mun talks about Imam Jawad alayhi salam. He says, فَقَالَ لَهُمُ الْمَعْمُونَ وَاللَّهِ إِنَّهُ لَأَفْقَهَ مِنْكُمْ. By Allah, he's more knowledgeable than you are. وَأَعْلَمُ بِاللَّهِ بِرَسُولِهِ وَفَرَائِضِهِ وَسُنَنِهِ وَأَحْكَامِهِ. He knows more than you about Allah, his messenger, about the rulings of Allah, about the wajibat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows better about the Quran. He knows about the interpretation of the Quran. He knows the meanings of the verses of the Quran more than you do. He knows more about the muhkamat of the Quran, about the mutashabahat of the Quran, about the khassihi wa ammih, wa tanzeelihi wa ta'wilihi minkum. And then he says, now you go and test him. If you believe that Imam Jawad alayhi salam doesn't have the knowledge about and he's not fit for this position, you go and test him. Take him on a trial. Ask him questions, see how he replies. So what they do, they go and they bring the most knowledgeable person at that time, Yahya ibn Aktham. He was a judge and he was very famous for his knowledge. Very knowledgeable. It is mentioned that he comes and he sits with Imam Jawad alayhi salam, asking different questions on different grounds, but Imam alayhi salam answers them in very, very correct manner, very exact, very accurate manner. And they were shocked, they were amazed by this faculty that the holy Imam alayhi salam maintained and had. So Imam alayhi salam was forced to marry Ummul Fadl when he was 16. It is mentioned that the holy Imam was at later time decided to marry another lady, Samana Maghribiya, which the reason for this was that Ummul Fadl was sterile and she didn't give birth. So the holy Imam decided to marry another lady, which was Samana Maghribiya. And Ummul Fadl, when the holy Imam was at the age of 25, it is mentioned that the holy Imam was forlorn and oppressed in his own house as well. After the death of Ma'mun, when Mu'tasim, the 8th Abbasi Khalif, took charge, he was very severe and vicious in his enmity towards the holy Imam alayhi salam. And he ordered the Imam, again, the holy Imam, when he came to Baghdad at the time of Ma'mun, he went back and he resided in Medina. When Mu'tasim came and took charge, he ordered the Imam alayhi salam to come to Baghdad. And he plotted to assassinate Imam Jawad alayhi salam using Ummul Fadl, which was the wife of Imam alayhi salam, at the house of Imam. It is mentioned that the poison was injected inside the grapes and they were offered to Imam by Ummul Fadl. When the holy Imam ate the grapes, he felt a severe pain and burning in his liver. And he was martyred shortly after. But let me remind you of another 25-year-old man who was martyred on the day of Ashura at the plain of Karbala. He was Ali Akbar. He comes and he asks permission from his father, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, to attack the enemies. Imam gives him permission straight away. But it is mentioned that he takes a dispirited glance at Ali al-Akbar, and his eyes are filled with tears, and he starts to cry, and he says, Allahumma ashhad faqad baraz ilayhim ghulamun ashbahu an-nas khalqan wa khulqan wa mantaqan bi rasulih. Oh Allah, be witness that a boy has appeared before them who is the most similar person in looks and conduct and speech to your messenger. Whenever we felt passion for our Prophet, we looked at him. Ali al-Akbar, he goes to the battlefield and attacks them very, very bravely. It is mentioned that Imam, that Hazrat Ali al-Akbar kills at least 120 of their horsemen and warriors. But it is mentioned that suddenly, after a while, he comes back to his father. He says, Ya Abati al-Atash qad qatalani, wa thiqlu al-hadid qad ajhadani, fa'al ila sharbatan min al-ma'i sabil. Oh father, thirst has overcome me, and the weight of the armor has exhausted me. Is there any way I could have a tiny bit of water? Ya Imam Hussein alayhi salam cries out loud and puts Ali's tongue in his mouth to help him overcome the thirst. And then he gives him his ring to put in his mouth to help him against the thirst. And he goes back to the battlefield. He attacks them. It is mentioned that a person, Murrat ibn Munghuth, suddenly ambush attacks Ali al-Akbar with his spear. And he falls to his ground, and the enemies attack him with the sword. فَقَطَّعُوهُ بِسُيُوفِهِمْ إِرْبًا إِرْبًا. And they cut Ali into pieces. And then Ali cries, يَا أَبَتَا عَلَيْكَ السَّلَامُ أَذَا جَدِّي يَقْرَأُكَ السَّلَامُ. He shouts, Oh Father, my blessings toward you. This is my grandfather sending his regards and asking you to hasten your coming towards them. Imam Hussein alayhi salam rushes to Ali al-Akbar. He falls on the body of Ali al-Akbar. It is mentioned here. He places his face on the face of Ali al-Akbar. Oh son, forgive me for what has come to you. Ala la'natullahi ala al-qawm al-zalimeen. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. اللهم عجل فرج ولينا واجعلنا من خير أعوانه وأنصاره والمستشهدين بين يديه وهب لنا رأفته ورحمته ودعاءه وخيره ما ننال به سعة من رحمتك وفوزا عندك. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات. اللهم اهدنا من عندك وافض علينا من فضلك وانشر علينا من رحمتك. وصل اللهم على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين وسلم تسليما كثيرا.